Despite its wealth in natural resources, Nigeria struggles with unreliable and insufficient power, limiting industrial growth, entrepreneurship, and job creation, particularly in rural areas. As energy demand increases with a rapidly growing population, there is an urgent need for innovative and sustainable solutions. Renewable energy offers a viable pathway to addressing Nigeria's energy deficit, providing a reliable, scalable, and eco-friendly alternative to traditional power sources. Beyond environmental benefits, clean energy has the potential to stimulate economic growth, create jobs, and connect underserved communities to the modern economy. How can we leverage this opportunity to achieve universal energy access in Nigeria by 2030?
Hi, I'm Francis Jackpo, your host on today's episode of NESD TV. Today we'll be discussing the role of renewables in economic development. Of course, we all understand the power sector challenges that Nigeria is currently grappling with. Okay, not many people have access to power. About 71% of households do not have access to power. And the conversation does not cascade all the way to the opportunities in the renewable industry. In a few days, we are going to be marking this year's International Clean Energy Day. So there's no better time than now to have this conversation and distill ideas that can support the grid system that we already have. Now with us in the studio to do justice to this subject is Mr. Wasim Amede. He's the CEO of Prado Power. He has vast experience in mini grids and off-grid power solutions, and he'll be doing justice to the subject. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right. So we are just going to kick off with what are renewables and why are they so significant in the power sector value chain for the benefit of our viewers who might not know?
So renewables are any resource that can be replenished.
Okay.
A resource that exists in nature.
Okay.
So whether it's a solar, so power from the sun, hydro.
Okay.
So that's waterways and water, geothermal. Energy.
Okay.
So from the depths of the earth core, and wind energy as well exists in nature, and so basically, those are the sources of renewables. Now, the interesting part is how we as engineers and entrepreneurs can tap those resources to provide power solutions to people. So as I mentioned, these resources are abundant. They exist in nature. They were created by, nature, God. We need to see how to tap them efficiently and provide solutions to ourselves and future generations. So unlike traditional energy sources like petroleum, they would never, finish. They are abundant, they are present. And, we need to think about ways to design systems that can harness them, for our benefit and the benefit of future generations.
Thank you very much. Now, the question is universal access to power for all is just 2030, just a few years away. And a company like yours, you are trying to sell the renewable mantra, so to speak. So what challenges have you encountered in the process? And how do you see Nigerians keen into this? Since it's an alternative power source after all, and Nigerians are used to fossil fuel-based power.
So one interesting thing is Nigerians have become very open to other sources of power. And I think that's the correct mindset, in trying to solve our electrification challenges. We need to be open. So if there's a resource that's abundant in the north, we can tap it in the north and provide solutions to people in the north. If it's abundant in the south, then we need to see how to harness those resources in the south, provide power to the people in the south. So what we've seen over the course of the last 5 years is there's been an evolution in policy where our lawmakers have created policies that will favor the introduction of new energy sources to the energy mix. And so you see how microgrids have thrived in the last 5 years, where through the leadership in the REA, developers such as Prado Power have deployed, over 100 mini grids across the country, and more still coming on stream. Another thing we've seen as well in the last 5 years is the distribution companies are open to partnering with distributed renewable energy companies such as Prado Power to provide solutions that will add to their own energy mix. So I can provide a power plant and embed it within the distribution network of a distribution company. And under the NERC, under the NERC rules and guidelines, they've been able to clearly elaborate on how that can be done and how we can design tariffs to customers. What this does now is that it ensures that customers get energy reliably. Customers get, their dedicated meters where they can see how much energy they consume. So there's a very, very clear transparency in, you know, electricity sector. And for us, what it does is it's placed a lot of responsibility on our side to see how to deliver these solutions in a cost-effective way and deliver it, by ensuring that we bring in all the stakeholders in the conversation and, you know, we show them how, you know, they can do different things, how they can be conservative with their energy consumption, how they can practice things like energy efficiency, and, how they can see and monitor what they spend.
Mm.
So it has, the conversations we're having in Nigeria currently is quite advanced when you compare it with other African countries. So I'd say we're having reasonable conversations that you'd see in, you know, a lot of the developed countries. So I think we're in a good place, we're in a good trajectory.
Mm.
And in the next couple of years, I think we'll be very advanced. We'll have a very advanced energy mix, would be very advanced in terms of the number of metered connections we have. And, the customers will start to understand how to use energy efficiently, consume energy properly, and then also, you know, plan for energy spending. So I imagine that, I would say it's sort of like a prediction from my side. I see us moving away from, you know, subsidies in the energy sector, where we can now charge cost-reflective tariffs to the customers. And because they can see what they consume, they'll be open to, you know, paying for their energy.
All right, I see. Thank you very much. Very insightful. Now, it throws up two questions. First, most consumers are scared with the upfront costs associated with alternative power, such as solar. How do you deal with that? Then secondly, our traditional infrastructure for grid electricity, there's a lot of talk that it's dilapidated and all of that. So can they take embedded power, especially from renewables like yours?
Yeah, great question. So in terms of upfront cost, one of the things we started to do in the sector is to engage, financial partners. So that's where the banks come in to, to sort of finance solar home systems, you know, mini grids upfront, where the customer will pay payments over time.
Uh-huh.
So that way, customers will not have to procure the system upfront, and their payments can sort of mirror how much they earn and make it sustainable. So we're having those conversations now with financiers, the traditional banks, some of the fintechs in the country, and as well, people who, you know, are interested in delivering these solutions to customers. And so looking at that, we know that the sector is beginning to open up. People are becoming aware of how distributed renewable energy systems can provide lasting solutions, eliminate things like, you know, harmful emissions that you would get from diesel generators, and can provide customers with a solution that would save them. Whether it's an industrial customer, a residential customer, a commercial customer, there are solutions that would work for them. With regards to embedding generation mm-hmm. within the distribution network system, one of the things that we as developers do is to evaluate the network, look at places where the network requires strengthening. So we do that in collaboration with the distribution companies. And then we'll build out the costs and make the investments. You know, so all of that is factored into the tariff calculations that the customer will pay over time. So like I mentioned, a very clear, transparent process. Everybody knows what they need to do. And yeah, so it works out perfectly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, but the challenge I see is that for underserved areas, especially for those who don't have formal employment, for instance, how do you deal with that? Because obviously, lines of credit are only open to people who have thriving businesses, so to speak, and can pay back. So how do you deal with that?
Yes. So I think that's where we need to develop a more robust credit appraisal, system, where people who are interested in starting businesses or doing businesses can have access to credit. And I think the consumer credit organization started to look at something like that, right, where they are able to, you know, look at customers who are interested in a business or interested in, doing something within, those areas, appraising them, ensuring that they understand what it means to pay back when you get, financing for something. And then also looking at properly appraising like their business plans and business models. It has to be done collaboratively with the customer. You need to engage the customer properly. You need to even in some cases provide training solutions for the customer and just ensure that they understand what they want to go into.
Mm.
The default rates would significantly reduce if you have that level of engagement. And what we're doing as well is to engage, with companies that are willing to provide those solutions with specific terms. So if a customer defaults for some time, or if a customer is not a serious business, person and is not willing to pay, then whatever system or services provided can be withdrawn.
Mm.
And these things should be, pure business engagement.
Sure.
Right. Customers need to also understand that they need to, roll up their sleeves. They need to focus on the business and deliver value to their own customers. And that's the pathway to paying off, the cost of a system or a service that's provided to you. So those are the levels of engagement that need to happen.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, can we be more granular? Let's see, because I'm interested, but I know so many people are, our viewers are. Let's say I want to, use renewable from Prado Power. How do I go about it so I can access credit? I don't have money for it. Let's say I don't have money and I want to access this line of credit. Is this as easy as ABC or I have to go through hoops getting it?
It's very simple.
Okay.
Reach out to our team. So we have a marketing team. First of all, they engage with you. They pass you on to, internal credit team, and they would carry out an appraisal. So come to your business premises. Look at what you have in place. They'll carry out an energy audit on how much you consume. So basically what that entails is connecting a data logger to your primary load load path.
That's right.
And then just evaluating what your consumption is over time.
Mm-hmm.
After that is done, the system will be designed for you to serve your needs, your energy needs. And then when that is done, we speak to our financiers, they finance the system. So once we're all happy with your credit credit score, they finance the system, and then we deliver the system to you.
Okay.
And then, set up the repayment process with you such that the payments are done, automatically over time.
So the repayment window is relative. It's not fixed. It's relative, depending on the credit history and all of that.
It's flexible. It can be up to 5 years.
Mm.
Or you pay back gradually over time.
Okay.
So that way we make it very easy and, for you to pay. We make it very flexible for businesses and individuals to pay back, the cost of the system.
All right, viewers, this is a good one. So we obviously there are options to key into this process, and it's an opportunity to explore most definitely. Okay, now I want to look at the incentives for you, because you are what the renewable companies are doing is revolutionary. So we know there's carbon credit, for instance, and other finance incentives. But what other incentives would help renewable and will drive investments? We'll ramp up investment in renewables, like tax holidays. What else? What can the government do to encourage?
Yes, so that's a very, very important question, right? So we're looking across the value chain to see where we want solutions that will support what we're doing. One of the areas that I see is import tariffs on renewable energy products. I feel like because of the state we are in the country where, you know, there's a huge electricity deficit, and we see renewables as a very important solution, we need to have tariffs wiped off those products. Unfortunately, our internal production of those products hasn't gotten to the point where we can sustainably deploy systems that we manufacture in Nigeria. So in the short term, it will be to kind of wipe off those tariffs to allow us meet, our clean energy targets in the country, and then also to facilitate the business of developers like myself. What I see that doing is that it would ensure that you deploy this critical infrastructure. And what the infrastructure would do, because of course we understand that electricity catalyzes, economic activity.
That's right.
Right? So what it would do is it will lift the country's GDP, and then obviously taxes can come from there. But then we need to allow this happen for the infrastructure to be built.
That's right.
So I read a report recently where there was a Deloitte report where they mentioned that a dollar investment in infrastructure creates 20 cents GDP growth.
Oh, wow.
So it's like 20% every year. So it's important that we deploy this infrastructure to ensure that our GDP can grow significantly. And that's the pathway to sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
That's the pathway to social sustainability, where people can have access to electricity, which I feel is a basic human right. And then also the country can achieve financial sustainability, where there is production, there's industrialization, and then as well for us, there's business.
True.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Now, in a few days' time, we're going to be having International Day of Clean Energy. Now, universal energy access by 2030, is it too ambitious to say, because it's a whole value chain issue, to from sensitization to the policy level, institutionalizing this, and maybe making lines of credit affordable and accessible. So is it ambitious to say in 4 years' time or in 5 years' time, we can have achieved universal energy access?
So it's a very difficult task because, currently even people who have access to electricity in the country do not get it on a, on a regular, it's not consistent.
Mm.
So to achieve this, I mean, we kind of need all hands on deck. It's achievable, nothing is impossible, of course. But we need all hands on deck. We need lawmakers to enact the right laws. We need developers to, roll up their sleeves and deploy projects that are sustainable, that are able to serve people. We need even the distribution companies to. So we need all of the stakeholders to come together. We have the target. So how do we work towards achieving the target? One of the things that we're doing in Prado Power is to try to solve the skills gap. So we've just recently partnered with the Rural Electrification Agency and NAPTINS, so that's the training institute, to develop the skills training for graduates from the universities across the country. So what that does is it develops capacity that will go into the sector and ensure that whatever is being deployed, so whether it's mini grids, we have properly trained people to man the systems, to ensure that the systems are well maintained, and people who would grow to become leaders in the sector. Sometimes it's not so good to focus on only the infrastructure.
True.
You think about
the human capital as well. Yes,
you need to develop human capital to actually grow and support the power sector, right? So that's some of the things you see. So personally for me, in terms of that mission, is one that we hold very dear, very important to the company, because once you see somebody emerge from that, training,
yes,
and eventually become the Minister of Power.
Hmm.
So we want somebody to go through that and emerge as one of the key, leaders in the power sector.
So is it accessible to all? Is it a yearly thing? We just elaborate more on it so yes. our viewers can come
in. So yes, it's yearly. We have a requirement for interested students. Right, there's an application that they'll be able to fill out, and then would review it, and then would take the best candidates to go through that training.
Okay.
So it's very important. Another thing that we hold very dear is the fact that we want there to be adequate inclusion in the power sector. Right. So we see power as an enabler, a business enabler. We want to see that. There are female leaders in the power sector who would also, emerge from whatever product, service we provide, if it's the capacity building, if it's like mini-grid development, maintenance. And we want them to be able to empower, other women, and just people see them as role models and people they want to aspire to. So those are some of the kind of things that we're doing that we feel like is very, very important for the sector. And for renewables as a whole, we understand that the World Clean Energy Day is fast approaching.
Yes, sir.
And so we want to, ensure that renewables wouldn't just represent like itself, where it can transform so many things. It can transform the way businesses operate, where they want to be cleaner, more sustainable. It can transform how individuals see themselves. So that's the kind of mindset that we are using to approach this challenge.
A wide-ranging approach.
Exactly.
Yeah. But when people say renewables, I thought to ask this question earlier, but I missed it. Why is there so much focus on solar when there's wind, for instance? So your own offerings, would you say they cut across wind, hydro, or is it just solar like everybody else
knows? Okay, so the reason solar is more prominent is that it is very modular. So a solar system, you can build a 1 megawatt power plant, and in the next 5 years, it can ramp up to 10 megawatts.
Okay.
Other systems, there are some challenges, compatibility. There are some other things that you need to take into consideration. So we do solar, we do small hydro, and we've also done some wind. But one thing I can say for sure is that wind energy isn't very sufficient in the country.
Yes.
So wind hasn't quite taken off. And then for wind as well, you need very massive wind turbines. Sometimes the turbine could be, they are really, really massive, systems. And so even the logistics of getting them down in the country, maintaining them, So I feel it's best for us to focus on something that is modular, something that's easy to maintain, something that's cost effective. So solar is one of the cheapest source of power now. So that's pretty much why we are focused there.
Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. So World Day of Clean Energy, what are your last words for consumers out there? How can you encourage them? Because this whole power sector, electricity supply challenges, they weigh heavily on the minds of consumers and even government. So how can we be encouraged that there's hope, at least in the run up to 2030?
So there's a lot of hope. Consumers shouldn't be scared about upfront cost, their financing options. And it's not as expensive as you think.
Okay.
There's a system for everybody, there's a system category for everybody. And one thing that I think as well we should focus on is sometimes when you practice energy efficiency, you would realize that you don't need a very big and expensive system.
Okay.
Sometimes, you need something small, modular, that you can use. And then what you spend monthly would probably be less than what you spend fueling your generators. Yes. So reach out to us. We are open. We are happy to educate you. We're happy to support your journey to transition to cleaner sources of energy. And we'll provide a solution that works perfectly for you.
Awesome. Thank you very much for staying with us, our viewers. We've had a very insightful discussion on the role of renewables in economic development. We've been discussing with Mr. Wasim Ahmede. He's the CEO of Prado Power. As we've all learned, renewables offer an alternative source of power that can complement the grid system that we already have. So we just have to shift our mindsets and key into this to ensure that power supply is not just affordable but also reliable. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share.